everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which is brought to you every Friday night here on KCRW. And tonight it's time for our salute to the medical profession. The doctors who are, after all, the first people that we see when we're born and just about the last people we see when we die, so we might as well salute them here in the middle. And now, this isn't just medical doctors we'll be hitting tonight. This is sort of a program for you to listen to just as you're getting ready to get out of medical school and you're trying to decide your choice of fields. So you'll have a lot to choose from tonight. Covering the medical end, the general practitioner end, we have Woody Allen, Rodney Dangerfield, John Cleese, and Bill Oddie with, I'm sorry, I'll read that again, Myron Cohen, Alan Sherman going into dentistry with Bill Cosby dentistry, Henny Youngman, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore into psychiatry, and Mike Nichols and Elaine May, and Joan Rivers handling the gynecological end of things. So there's a lot to listen to tonight, all crammed into an action-packed half hour that I hope you enjoy. And without further ado, let's press on with the comedy of Woody Allen.
I had once a pain in my chest over here. You didn't know it was a musical act. I did. I had a pain in the chestal area. Now, I was sure it was heartburn, you know, because that time I was married and my wife was cooking with her Nazi recipes, you know. Chicken Himmler. I didn't want to pay $25 to have it reaffirmed by some medic that I had heartburn. But I was worried because it was in the chestal area. Then it turns out my friend, Eggs Benedict, has a pain in his chestal area in the same exact spot. And I figured if I could get Eggs to go to the doctor, I could figure out what's wrong with me at no charge. So I con Eggs. And he goes. Turns out he's got heartburn. Cost him $25. And I feel great. Because I figure I beat the medic out of 25 big ones, you know. I call up Eggs 2 days later. He died. I check into a hospital immediately. Have a battery of tests run, x-rays. Turns out I got heartburn. Cost me $110. Now I'm furious. I run to Egg's mother. And I say, did he suffer much? And she said, no, it was quick. Car hit him and that was it.
I'll tell you my trouble, I got the wrong doctor. You know my doctor, Dr. Vinnie Boombatz. That's my doctor. Oh, doctor. Oh, that's doctor, forget it, weird. I saw him last week. I told him, Doc, every day I wake up, I look in the mirror, I want to throw up. What's wrong with me? He said, I don't know, but your eyesight is perfect. I went to my call him. I swallowed a bottle of sleeping pills. He told me to have a few drinks and get some rest.
Next, please. Come along, come along. We haven't got all day. Come on. Right, drop him. Now take your trousers off.
They are off, sir.
So they are. Yes. Oh, in that case, your legs need pressing. Now, can you touch your toes?
No, sir.
Well, how do you wash them then, you dirty little brute? Come grubbing round my surgery with your filthy feet. Ugh. Well, if you can't touch your toes, your arms must be too short. I just have to let them out a bit at the elbows.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
Now, come over here. Now, take this bottle. You know what to do with it, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
Good. There's the ship, and I want it finished by Tuesday. And if you find that too difficult, you can put the ship in the bottle. Right, now. Now, can you read this card?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well?
It says APG XRI 8439 DMFRH.
It's from my aunt in Brighton. She must be out of her mind. Right, well, Thank you. Off you go, then.
But what about my checkup?
Oh, yes. Now, have you got a temperature?
Oh, yes, sir. 106.
That's a bit high. Better call it 98. Now, let's see. Breathing. Do you breathe?
Yes, quite frequently.
Now, take your shirt off.
Oh, no. I can't.
Yes, I know it's embarrassing. I know. I'll take mine off, too. No, I've got a better idea. I'll go behind this screen.
Thank you very, very much, sir. Thank you indeed, sir.
Is it off now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, put it back on. I want to come out. Right, now, eyes, feet, nose, ribs. Well, I think you've got the full set.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, I know. Teeth. Open your mouth. Wider. 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 Oh, pick them out. Let me see them. Are they comfortable?
Oh, yes, sir. Very comfortable.
Okay, well, I think I'll keep these, then.
Don't worry.
I'll put you on liquid foods. Anyway, it'll do you good to dodge. You've put on a bit of weight since I last treated you, haven't you? What did I treat you for?
Nappy rash.
That was it. Still troubling you?
No, sir.
Good. Anyway, you're far too fat. How much have you gained? £3?
No, sir.
£6?
No, sir.
£11?
No.
£13?
No.
£13, 10 ounces?
No.
All right, then, open the box. Mr. Oddy, you have turned down £13, 10 ounces, so let's see what you have won. Mr. Oddy, you have won Kenneth Wolstenholme. Well done, Mr. Oddy. Good night, and that's all for this week. But don't forget to join us again next week when it may be your turn to beat the clock. Good night, everyone.
Which reminds me of the little woman in her 80s who meets the young doctor. He says, how do you feel, my dear? She says, I tell you the truth. Oitzmid arthritis, with the bursitis, with the pressure, and the pain and the crisis. And the stomach is not 100%. He says, why don't you come to my office to see me? She says, maybe next week when I'll feel better.
Beautiful molars, lovely bicuspids. I'm Dr. Prentice, the painless dentist. By that what's meant is, it really doesn't hurt. This is Miss Klinger, you've met her finger. So open wide and Miss Klinger will squirt. Well, I say there, we've got decay there. Can't let it stay there and cause you all that pain. So please, Miss Klinger, remove your finger. And won't you hand me down my Novocaine? It's far worse than I thought it was. My charge is gonna be large. Don't be unwilling, it's just a filling. I'm simply drilling to dig a little pit. Don't fight Miss Klinger or bite her finger. And now while I change the drill, you can spit. I hum while you're bleeding. It takes your mind off the things I grind off. Your gums are receding. You'll have to come back. We'll build that gum back. And now, if you will open wide, Miss Klinger's gonna put her whole darn fist inside. That's it. Now it's over. There'll be a puffiness around your cheeks. You'll have to eat soft food for 3 more weeks. And if you'll kindly stop those ghastly shrieks, I'm through. Beautiful molars, lovely bicuspids, by Dr. Prentice.
Dentists tell you not to pick your teeth with any sharp metal object. Then you sit in their chair. And the first thing they grab is an iron hook. Now the dentist pulls out a needle. This is to deaden the pain. So open up. Now a regular doctor giving you a shot will go, and that's it. Dentists don't do that. They go. And you're there. Then they want to talk to you. Do you ever do any fishing? Uh-huh. Where do you usually go? Yes, I've been there many times myself. Now he pulls the needle out. Puts this thing in your mouth. This will suck up your face. The dentist goes outside to laugh at you. And you sit, grown-up, intelligent human being, arguing with this thing. You also notice that the right side of your face feels like it's sliding off of your skull. And your bottom lip is in your lap. So the dentist comes back. You want to talk to him. So you say,
I beg your pardon? I don't understand.
Mary Ceres. Did you see my Ceres?
The what?
Eri. Mary Ceres.
The face?
Yes.
What's the matter with it?
Whether it be Mary, baby? My Ceres is heavy, Dan. Did you see this? It is my bottom lip. It wasn't like this when I came in here.
Well, I'll fix it.
I hope so. Because if you put a needle in my mouth, my Ceres went down a little bit, my bottom lip is on the floor. So I can't live with it like this now.
I'll fix it.
I'll be kidding. Now he starts to drill. And you see and smell smoke coming out of your mouth. So you say,
what's the matter?
Smell it.
And what?
Smell it. There is some smoke.
I don't understand.
Fire! Do you understand the fire? There's a fire in my mouth and the smoke is coming out of the fire. And my face is heavier and flow.
The fire?
Yes.
Where?
Maybe nine. Now he drills some more and you hear him make a mistake. And to cover it up, they all say the same thing.
Okay, rinse.
Ribbons? You ask me the ribbons? I've been heavy bottom lidded. How can I ribbons?
Give it a try.
Okay, D. Grab the cup, pour the water, it runs all down. I hope that you are satisfied. I put the water in my mouth. I told you I can't read it because I didn't want to read it. The water is all down in my leg. I hope that you are satisfied.
Rinse again.
You've got to be kidding me.
So you pick it up, put it in. Now you're going to spit into this miniature toilet bowl. You have no bottom lip, so you let it all fall out. Say, thank God for gravity. Now you want to sit back, but you can't, because hanging from your bottom lip is a long line, and you can't get it off your bottom lip. So you sit back, now you have a line from the bowl to your bottom lip. The dentist looks at it and says, oh, look, a rainbow.
Oh, that Hollywood is murder at the doctors. Oh, those doctors. I went to one while he was examining me. He grabbed me by the wallet and he said, cough. Wonderful doctor. Gave a man 6 months to live, couldn't pay his bill, gave him another 6 months. Doctor called a lady, Mrs. Cohn, your check came back. She says, yes, so did my arthritis. A little man walks in the doctor, you're going to live to be 60. He says, I am 60. What'd I tell you? Man goes to the doctor, says, doctor, I'm having trouble at home with my love life. What'll I do? He says, take off 20 pounds. Run 10 miles a day. Man calls him 2 weeks later. Doc, took off the 20 pounds. I've been running 10 miles a day. Well, how's your love life? I don't know. I'm 140 miles away. The doctor puts a stethoscope to my heart. I said, Doc, how do I stand? He said, that's what puzzles me. I said, Doc, my foot hurts. What will I do for it? He said, limp. He says to me, you're pregnant. I says, how does a man get pregnant? The usual way, a little wine, a little dinner. Man goes to a psychiatrist. He says, you're crazy. He says, I want a second opinion. You're ugly, too. What a crowd tonight. Another fellow goes to a psychiatrist. Nobody talks to me. He says, next.
Hello, Dr. Braintree.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's quite all right. Yes. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Would you like to sit down or would you prefer to lie?
I'll sit, thanks.
Right, well, sit right down. Now tell me, how are you in yourself?
Well, I'm really feeling rather in the pink.
Oh, this is terrific.
Yes. It's funny, really. You know, if anybody had told me that talking to psychiatrists would have helped me at all, I'd have laughed in their faces, you know.
Yes.
But I can honestly say that our little chats together have really been a tremendous benefit to me.
I'm so glad, Roger. Of course, a lot of people are instinctively very suspicious of psychiatry, and possibly, you know, with reason, but it can help in times.
Well, I really think it can, because, you know, I've got so much more self-confidence now.
Yes.
I'm much less self-conscious in the company of the opposite sex, which I wasn't, as you know.
You're less inhibited, are you?
I should say.
Good, this is terrific.
And the wonderful thing is, really, about it all, I'm in love.
Well, this is wonderful news, Roger. You're in love with a woman?
Yes.
Oh, so much the better. That's terrific.
You know, it's so wonderful to be in love. I can't tell you the absolute joy I have.
Well, love is a wonderful thing. I've been there myself. It's a wonderful thing.
I mean, she's... this girl, this creature, this goddess,
yes.
She's so... you know, it's so right. Everything
yes.
is so
yes,
wonderful.
Yes, 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 yes. You know? You really click together.
Yes. it's so marvellous. But the only trouble is that, apart from this wonderful, light-hearted love that I have, I seem to be saddled with this tremendous... burning sense of guilt.
You have guilt as well as love. Well, this is unfortunate, Roger. You know, sex is the most natural, healthy thing in the world. There's no reason at all to have any guilt about it. I mean, why would you have guilt about sex? It's a lovely, beautiful thing, Roger.
Well, it's not really as simple as that. You know, it's rather difficult to explain. I don't really know where to start.
Well, begin at the beginning. That's always the best place. What's the girl's name?
Stephanie.
Stephanie, that's a lovely name, isn't it? Well, it's my wife's name, in fact, isn't it?
Yes. It's Stephanie.
Yes, it's Stephanie.
No, it's Stephanie.
Yes, it's Stephanie, Roger.
Yes, it's Stephanie. It's your wife.
Oh, you're
Stephanie.
In love with my wife, Stephanie.
Yes.
Well, this is a perfectly understandable thing, Roger. She's a very attractive woman. I married her myself. I don't see why you should feel upset about that.
But she's in love with me.
Well, this again is perfectly understandable, Roger. I mean, you're a perfectly attractive human being, as I've told you over the last few weeks. There's nothing repulsive about you, is there? There's no reason why a highly sexed woman such as Stephanie shouldn't fall in love with you. And I must explain to you, Roger, that I'm a very busy man. I have many, many patients to see. I see rather less of my wife, perhaps, than I should. And I think it's very understandable that she should seek some sort of companionship outside the marriage. I don't think that's unreasonable
at all. But she's not seeking anything outside marriage, Dr. Braintree, and nor am I. We want to get married.
Well, this again, I think, is perfectly understandable. After all, you're two young people in love. You want to manifest your love feelings within the confines of a bourgeois society through marriage. I think this is very appropriate.
The other thing is, you see, I should feel so grateful to you for what you've done for me, and all I can feel is this burning jealousy. I can't bear the thought of you touching her.
Well, of course you can't. I can understand it. She's tremendously possessive about someone one loves. One is tremendously possessive. It would be unhealthy not to have this jealousy reaction, Roger.
But don't you see, I hate you for it.
Of course you
hate
me, Roger.
I hate you for being so near her.
Yes, of course you hate me, Roger. You love to hate the one who loves the one you hate to love to love. This is a very old rule, Roger. There's nothing to feel ashamed about. It's absolutely reasonable.
Don't you understand? I want to kill you.
Of course you want to kill me, because by killing me, Roger, you eradicate the one you hate. This is a perfectly natural reaction, Roger.
You're so reasonable, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You understand it all so much. You're so logical.
Yes, I am. It's my
job,
Roger.
I'm going to have to kill you now.
Roger, this is a little inconvenient, because I have another patient at 6:30, and then there's somebody else at 7 after that. I wonder if you could make it sometime next week. Could you make it early in the week, sir?
When do you think?
How are you fixed on Wednesday morning, say at 9:30? Would that be convenient?
Yes, that's perfect.
Right, well, if you could pop along at 9:30 and kill me then.
Once again, Dr. Braintree, I'm amazed, you know, really. I'm so grateful to you for, you know, showing me the way.
It's what I'm here for, Roger.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And with a bit of luck, this should be the last time you need to visit me.
Exit, can we talk here? I wouldn't change my life for anybody. I love being a woman. I love living now. Only one bad thing about being a woman. You have to go to the gynecologist regularly. I hate the gynecologist, don't you? They talk about men being brave. Men don't know what bravery is. You give a man a helmet, is that brave? No. You give a man a gun, is that brave? No. I shall tell you what bravery is. Bravery is every woman in this room tonight. You want to know what bravery is? Bravery is to make a gynecologist appointment and to show up. That is what bravery is all about. You're damn right we should applaud. Oh, yes. We should have a stamp commemorating us, don't you think? Someone like Marlo Thomas in the stirrups. I've been thinking about this. Isn't it the worst? The white dress in the slit and the table with the paper, and they put one foot into one stirrup and the other foot in the other stirrup, and the first words you hear?
Slide down.
Slide down. And I don't want to know how you know that. To the paper. If it's so important, let him slide up with pain. Oh, sure. That and relax. That's the other one. Relax. You're not relaxed. Relax. Relax. I can't get my hand out. Relax. I wonder why I'm not relaxed. My feet are in the stirrups, my knees are in my face, and the door is open facing me. The guy in the waiting room you went to high school with, it never fails. Oh, sure. I thought that was you. Hi. Looking good. And my gynecologist does jokes. Jokes. If you don't expect your doctor to do a joke, Dr. Schwartz at your cervix. My guy does jokes. Do you know what it's like to be in the stirrups if your doctor walk in wearing a snorkel? Carrying a pool sweep? My guy does jokes. I'm dilated to meet you. Say ah. There's Jimmy Hoffa. That son of a bitch, unless you learn to throw your voice. Wouldn't that be great? Hi, Doc! He dropped dead. Wouldn't that be great? How's the wife and kids? Ah!
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Gauze.
Gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
A little more gauze.
We don't have any more gauze.
That's all the gauze?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. We had a small roll of gauze.
Give me a sponge.
Sponge.
Clamp.
You have the clamp.
Suture.
We have the suture.
Edith.
Yes?
I love you.
Please, please.
Sponge.
You have the sponge.
Give me another sponge. I want
you
two sponges.
You have all the sponges.
I have two sponges.
We don't. We only had two sponges.
Edith, this is terrible when we wrangle this way. But why do you avoid me?
We have two sponges.
Why do you avoid me in the hall?
I don't avoid you in the hall.
You turned your back at the coffee machine.
I didn't turn my back.
You deliberately turned your back.
Excuse me, the oxygen is failing.
Edith, don't change the subject.
But it's failing.
Well, turn it up.
Well, I'm trying to.
Is there somebody else?
Is there something you'd like? A suture, sponge, something?
Is there somebody else?
I don't care to discuss it now,
thank
you.
It's Pinsky, isn't it?
I don't care to talk about it.
I saw you in the cafeteria.
I just don't care to talk about it, Dr. Harris. Now, would you like anything else? Otherwise, I'd like to go.
Go in the middle of an operation?
Well, I have nothing else to hand you. You've got it all in the patient.
Edith, what have I done to hurt you this way?
You haven't done anything to hurt me. I just wish you wouldn't badger me.
Badger you?
I need time to think. I told you that before.
I don't know you like this. You're cold. You're diffident.
Because you badger me.
I haven't badgered
you. You're only making me run away.
Is it badgering you to tell you I love you? Is that badgering you?
Please do not tell me over and over in the cafeteria and operations.
All right, I'm sorry. Give me a needle.
Needle.
Thread.
Would you like me to thread the needle?
I don't even know what I'm doing. Yes, thread it, please.
All right. Catgut?
Yes.
Cheer up. Come on, I have a little joke for you. Knock, knock.
Oh.
Come on. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Catgut.
Catgut who?
Catgut your tongue? Oh, come on.
Edith, why are you torturing me?
I'm not. I was trying to cheer you up.
Well, there's only one way you can cheer me up, and that's to say yes.
Please, please, Dr. Harris, not now. This is how you drive me away every time.
Put your finger on this knot, please.
All right, but don't do anything funny.
I'm not doing anything funny. I'm sewing up the patient.
All
now
right.
It's you who starts these things.
All right, all right.
Oh, I do love you so.
Oh, please, please, let go of my finger. I knew you were going to do this.
Please, no, don't pull back. I do. I love you. I love you.
Let go of my finger.
Don't pull back. You're pulling the stick.
Please, Dr. Harris, stop.
Edith, it is Pinsky, isn't it?
I don't want to talk about it now,
it's
please.
It's very important to me to know whether it's Pinsky or not.
Give me time to check. Now the oxygen is failing again.
Let it fail. I'm sick of this torture.
Please, so, Dr. Harris, everyone is looking at you.
I'm not going to finish this operation unless you say yes.
Dr. Harris, you're being impossible.
I'm not going to finish this operation unless you say yes, Edith.
Dr. Harris, this patient will die.
I've been tortured long enough. Yes or no, which is it going to be?
This is absolute blackmail.
I don't care. I don't care what lengths I go to anymore. All is fair and all that.
Dr. Harris, you're a doctor. A doctor. Doesn't that mean anything to you,
yes,
a surgeon?
I'm a doctor, Edith, but I'm a man also, and I will not go on with this operation until you give me your answer, and it better be yes.
I have no choice. Yes.
All right, then. Clamp, darling.
Well, there you go. That's going to do it for our show on... In fact, I better get out of here. I'm running late.
Our show on medicine. We heard from Woody Allen, Rodney Dangerfield, John Cleese, and Bill Oddie, the cast of I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again. Myron Cohen, Alan Sherman, Bill Cosby, Henny Youngman, Peter Cook, and Dudley Moore, Joan Rivers, and Mike Nichols and Elaine May, who have an entire record on the subject of doctors, if you're interested in that. That's about it. Next week, we're going to do Hail to the Chief, a show about the presidency, and after that, we'll have the election special, depressing though it all may be. So until then, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening, and thanking Deirdre for not being too angry at my going this far over into her time, and reminding you all to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.